Welcome to Directly Speaking, a direct-to-consumer marketers podcast. Our podcast features marketing leaders in the direct-to-consumer and e-commerce space. We get to learn about their brands and the stories behind them, compare notes on trends and challenges in the industry, learn about how they approach their marketing journey, and hopefully a little bit about them personally along the way. I'm your host, Marcus Lancaster, head of direct-to-consumer strategy at Quad. Today's guest is Sean Doffner, director of marketing at Mechanics Wear. With a passion for creative problem solving, Sean has spent the last 22 years in different capacities guiding Mechanics Wear's visual and experiential marketing and storytelling. He's helped elevate the brand to be a leader in its space. And as director of marketing, Sean leads the teams responsible for consumer marketing, brand management, sponsorship, and direct-to-consumer. Sean, happy to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Marcus.
We're really excited to hear a little bit more about your business because I don't really know the space. Why don't you start off by telling our listeners and I a little bit about Mechanics Wear and your business model?
Sure. Mechanics Wear started out of a racing company. We're an accessory created by a company called Axosport America, actually. And it basically evolved into its own company. Really saw an opportunity. And so one of the things we say is that we created a category all of them to itself, similar to in the smaller space, like a Kleenex or a Nike. So we created the high performance work glove category with the generation of one glove, what we call the original glove. Our business is broken down into three primary categories. Many people who know our brand probably find us in most retailers, from automotive spaces to home improvement. But we've over 30 plus years, 32 years, we've branched out to federal tactical, as well as the commercial industrial space, providing hand protection for, people on oil rigs, people in manufacturing to, many people saw us through many movies representing the American military because our product was discovered by tier one operators like Navy SEALs.
Oh, wow.
So our brand and our product has been discovered in many different channels.
Oh, that's killer. So is the predominant sales channel, or what part of your business is the sales channel of direct to consumer?
It's interesting. So when we tell people about how diverse our business is, we have about a third of our business, depending on the year and coming out of COVID, of course, 30 to 40% of our business is in consumer retail, and DTC rolls up into that. Then we have about 30 to 40% in commercial, and then the balance in Fed Tech, depending on the year. And then 15% of that is global.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
And so DTC actually is only about 2% of our gross revenue.
Really?
Yeah.
But I thought so what about the rest of the consumer marketing? How are people buying you in those channels?
So in the United States, every auto retailer, AutoZone, Advance Auto, O'Reilly's, Napa Auto Parts, any auto retailer pretty much has us. Big box retail, Walmart, Home Improvement, Lowe's, and the list just continues to go on.
Very cool. So tell me, who are your customers then that are buying that? Anybody in the workspace, or is it a micro, segment? What does it look like?
Well, you mean on DTC specifically?
Yes. DTC and consumer marketing in general.
Okay, so consumer marketing, we have different levels. You have your DIYer. That could be in the auto space, that could be a home improvement. And then we have the pro who would be shopping at a Lowe's, for instance, in the construction industry, to, I would say, a more auto enthusiast, higher end fabricator. And then also in the consumer channel is tactical. So you have tactical stores, gun shooting enthusiasts.
Gotcha.
Using our product. Military simulation, people who like to go out and hunt as well as simulate military events, those are consumer customers as well.
So you said that it was kind of interesting. You said that you kind of created the space, original entry. So do you find that consumers acknowledge a need for that product? How do you reach them, and what's the story you need to tell them?
Yeah, so early on, you know, it was about convincing people they need gloves, right? You know, manly men were like, I don't need a glove. And it's really evolved now that people identify our product as a performance product, and they choose, when they're choosing protection, hand protection, they're choosing our brand because it provides a level of performance versus a commodity glove, right? How we reach them, you know, early on, we were very print heavy, you know, and since then we've moved to social and digital. And, you know, when you look at our competitors, we have a larger social following than all of our competitors combined for the most part, especially in the consumer channel.
Gotcha. Are those people harder to reach in a digital method than you did in conventional old school print?
Initially, no. I would say now as we grow a little bit, it's the landscape for where we find them is more diverse. So it's not as easy as putting a print ad in Motor Trend or, you know, Car and Driver and getting a big cut of the demographic. Now it's, mm-hmm. we have to find, you know, we had experimented with some live sports broadcasting now, and then now it's just about hitting, from our perspective, it's more about creating content that people identify with.
Okay.
So early on in print, when no one had easy access to the content, image was king. We gave them access to a perspective that they didn't have. And now we try to do a similar but different approach where we're identifying and supporting, championing the things they're interested in. So,
gotcha. So your content messaging has shifted a little bit.
It has. And then our markets have become wider. So it's sort of part and parcel with both of those initiatives.
Are you on many retail, i.e. the Amazons, Walmart.coms of the world?
Yeah. So when we think of direct to consumer, we pretty much identify that as just our controlled platforms.
Okay.
So that's our website, truly getting control of end-to-end experience. And then Amazon is a big player for us in our e-com space. So
got it.
Is part of a broader e-com strategy. And then the other players in there are, you know, fall to Walmart and then Lowe's and then Target and the other e-tailers, if you will, or channels of our brick and mortar partnerships.
Got it. Well, I asked that question because we're talking about content, and that's some of the things that we're hearing from some other marketers these days. It's very difficult as they market around a disparate number of channels and vehicles to get the content and the messaging right across all those. It's put it's taxed their content creation capabilities.
It has taxed. And then for us specifically, we're an impulse item. We try to say we're the best add-on to anyone's project, right?
And makes sense.
People don't have typically gloves on their project list when they walk into an AutoZone or Advance Auto or home improvement store like Lowe's, right? I have my lumber, I have my nails or a tool, and then, oh yeah, I need gloves. So we want to make sure we're top of mind when they make that epiphany. And when, if they're a chooser of a brand, that we represent ourselves. And then online, it's about how do we represent that with an Amazon or a Walmart? How do we become part of that impulse? Where are we, you know, in the Amazon platform? How are we reminding people through other product advertising, being part of that journey for
yes.
them? And then on our DTC, it's more about people who actually do have us on their list. It's
gotcha.
It's not impulse. Typically.
So I mean, you have a little bit of a challenge then in measuring LTV relative to some of these clients, given the fact that I may buy at Lowe's for my my lumber project and AutoZone for my car project.
Exactly. Like, we don't have, as analytics go, great LTV for our brand on the things that we can track, because we can't track half of that. What I can say is that typically we have like 20% to 25%, depending on the year, of a returning customer in a 2-year window. on DTC.
Gotcha.
But we know that people are shopping at Lowe's. So maybe they discovered us at Lowe's and then they come back and purchase from us. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing about Lifetime is we all work at different a different degree of exertion or need for protection. So your task versus my task might be different. I might blow through gloves and
I feel you. I got you.
You might take a year, 2 years.
And my wife says it takes me a year to finish any given home project. So that's a whole separate conversation.
Yes. That would be why you only need, well, you might misplace those gloves. So you might need to get another pair when you go find another part of your project.
So what are the problems? What are your, you know, how, what are you looking at? Has iOS 14 hit you? What are the things that you're challenged with nowadays?
iOS 14 has hit a little bit as far as our ability to reach on social. But our plan is to be steadfast on the content. And I think we haven't seen a true big loss. It's been more subtle loss. And I think that's because people enjoy our content or come to us for as part of their organic feed. And we're not remarking to them, but they're seeing it through their friends who might like some of our,
I follow you,
our posts.
Well, that makes good sense because, you know, one of the things that we've seen as a trend in a lot of the industry events over the last year is a switch to brand marketing as being a big part of conversion because, you know, as people market in an omni-channel manner, you have to, you know, making sure they know your brand at the point at which purchase. And with mechanics, that's probably a big part of it since you're an impulse buy, as you mentioned.
Right. Yeah. So we do that on different platforms as well. And for us, the consumer experience, like you had mentioned, actually, it's all of it, right? You see us on shelf. That's just as much of a advertising brand awareness piece as any display ad or social post that you'll see or YouTube content that we create.
Gotcha. Right?
Like the familiarity with our brand really helps. We just can't track, you know, 2/3 of it. I would say the other challenge we have is going into this year is, you know, big conversations around inflation and recession. And, you know, the last recession, we were pretty good at guiding ourselves through that. But this year, this time around, I think it's different constraints and we're really changing some of our messaging, tweaking it a little bit to remind people why brand matters in their messaging, in our messaging, and,
gotcha,
and really positioning our values proposition with the great content that people, you know, enjoy seeing and know that we're there to champion whatever project they're working on.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a thoughtful approach, and I commend you on it because many of the brands we're engaging with are playing catch up in brand marketing in a lot of ways. They were so lower funnel focused for several years, but have had to pivot. And it seems like you guys are thinking ahead of that curve.
Well, we're just starting the re-pivot journey, if you will. We spent a few years, the last three, I would say, pivoting to lower funnel. And now we're going back to balancing that a little bit more with upper funnel.
Gotcha. Makes good sense. How's your brand changed over the years? And what do you see happening? And then let's call it in the next, you know, 3 or 4.
So the brand itself, I would say, hasn't necessarily changed, just the way we think about how we can protect people who work with their hands. And that doesn't mean necessarily just gloves. So in the last year and a half, we launched eye protection. We acquired a company called Chicago Protective Apparel that makes full body protective, high hazard environment suits. For instance, like aluminized suits for molten splash, arc flash suits for people working on transformers, you know, really dangerous stuff. And so our challenge is moving forward is how to synthesize that with the Mechanics for brand. How do we tell a slightly new message that we're more than just hands now?
Gotcha.
and in multiple channels.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's change gears a little bit. Let's talk about you. What do you like most about your job?
You know, I like coming in every day and solving the problems creatively at hand, as well as, you know, trying to balance that with longer term vision and strategy. It's no day is the same, and it's every day is a challenge, and that I come ready to essentially compete for a solution.
Very cool. And a longer term strategy, you talk about that. What do you use to, what are the things that you draw upon to, you know, what are the trends you watch for? What are the things you pay attention to?
Yeah, you know, early on, because like I said, we created a niche market essentially, you know, and the reason I say that is because people reselling our product had to create a new section of their catalog. They call it mechanics gloves with a C. And so we used to say, hey, we're like the Nike of our little industry. And so I do look, and we do all sort of look at what the Nikes are doing and what, you know, the Patagonia North Faces are doing, and then draw, just use that as a draw of inspiration, essentially, right? Like how are they looking at the market, and then how do we think those constraints are different from our constraints, and how might we change what we're doing or need to change what we're doing? You know, I think that's one component. I think I didn't touch on the other component, was that our history is heavily involved in racing, and racing as a whole, NASCAR. We've been a primary partner with NASCAR for, you know, over 20 years as well. And NASCAR is changing all the time. And so we look at, you know, in racing and sports, change is inevitable. And so we just try to look for what some of those big players are doing and how it might apply to us.
I really like that. And I really like the reference to, for example, Patagonia, who, you know, Raquel is probably chuckling, and people that are listening are chuckling, because I always reference that brand. But I thought about them as you were telling the story of your expansion, because you remained loyal to essentially the core value, which is protective gear. Right. You know, and we approach that very much the same way at Quad. You said you'd like to be the Nike of protection. We like to be the staples of marketing, you know, the easy button. So I really, really like that message. And I think it's probably central to your success.
Yeah. I mean, early on, it was very much in the four walls of Mechanics, where it was like marketing was about similarly championing people who were working their hands, you know, in the be like Mike situation. We didn't need to show someone hooking up their trailer hitch with gloves on. You could show someone doing a pit stop in 13 seconds, or, you know, a tier one operator wearing our gloves, or gloves clipped onto their go bag. And you can get that. Yes, I have a similar toolbox as them. I'm a Mechanics Wear customer.
I love that. And by the way, that Be Like Mike X campaign is one of the classic of all time.
For sure. It's awesome. Great marketing by them.
So what are some brands that inspire you today?
You know, I look for brands that leverage a balance of technology to solve problems, you know, and Nike is still up there, but there are definitely more emerging brands, not technology like an Apple or in technology space, but because I think there is so much innovation that happens at the ingredient level to product, you know, how are those brands leveraging it? And I'm trying to blanket any other brands I would bring to light, but there are some fashion brands that are a little bit going into like more functional spaces. And since our product has an aesthetic, we look at those kind of brands as well.
All right. So what inspires you? What gets you up in the morning and gives you energy, Sean?
Yeah, I definitely think the people here at Mechanics Wear give me energy, right? Like, we're a great team. Super lean team. I enjoy working with everyone. I think people is at the core of how our company was founded. And, you know, I'm reminded of that just because we had a leadership offsite in the last couple of weeks, and we all sort of resonate around that topic. I think the other thing that gets me up every day is, you know, it was in the beginning of the bio, I'm passionate about being creative, and every day I've had an opportunity to be creative here, whether it's from doing packaging in back in the day, trade shows, to commercials, and, you know, everything we touch essentially is has a creative process wrapped and involved in it.
Really cool. And yeah, that's sounds like in your job, you get to kind of approach a lot of different problems from a lot of different ways in a creative manner.
Yeah, I didn't say this, but early on when we were younger as a company, we didn't have formal titles. You weren't allowed to put director in your title. And so my title was creative decathlete, because very soon after joining, I had like 10 different disparate tasks or functions that didn't really relate.
I love that. That is so cool. Creative decathlete.
Yeah.
All right. Last question I always like to ask everybody is, if you could teach Sean of 20 years ago something that you know now, what would it be?
Yeah, I would say still coming, you know, it's a challenge as I get older. I'm more mature in this business. I don't come with the same fresh vision. I constantly have to remind myself to come with not necessarily an open mind, but a perspective as if this was as fresh as it was the first couple of years. You know, I think that youthful approach to things, you know, as we get older is harder to come by.
You're right. In fact, it's one of the things one of the reasons I love talking to so many people in my business, because I'm always getting a perspective that I didn't have before. Or somebody saying something that really resonates with me.
Yeah.
And because it's easy to, get stayed in your day-to-day.
Exactly. Especially because I'm a lifetime learner. I want to learn things all the time. And, you know, sometimes you see this same problem with a Lowe's that we had 5 years ago.
Exactly. I love that. All right. Well, if somebody wants to connect with you, Sean, what's the best way to do it?
You know, I they're more than happy to reach out to me on social. I think LinkedIn is probably the best avenue. Other than that, you know, just follow the brand. We try not to be so specific about any one of us here at Mechanicsware. It's more about championing our brand and the people who use our product. And so don't really focus on me as much as her, as we say, the brand.
Got it. Love it. I can assure you that if I can't find those gloves to finish the basement project, I'll pick up a pair of Mechanicsware. Yeah.
Just send me an email. I'll make sure I get you the right product.
All right. Killer. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Sean. I've really enjoyed talking to you and getting to know you a little bit better. And we just appreciate you taking the time.
It was great. Yeah, I appreciate it as well. It was a fun time. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on Directly Speaking today. We hope you enjoyed the content and enjoyed the opportunity to get to know Sean along with us. Hope to have you again soon. And until then, keep selling. Have a great day, everybody.